Hello, friends. Welcome to worship on this, the last day of the church year. The new liturgical year starts next week with Advent. But today, we recognize Jesus Christ as our King and our Lord and the sovereign of our lives. It is Christ the King Sunday. So welcome to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Come to worship Jesus Christ, Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and is to come. We come to worship the one who rules justly. Come to worship Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, bread of heaven, God with us. Good shepherd, true vine, eternal word, great I am. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, we come to worship Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And let us light our Christ candle together today, recognizing Jesus as the light of the world and King. Sovereign in our hearts. Let's pray together this responsive prayer. King of all the earth, creator of the universe, holy triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, with our whole hearts, for your glory is above the heavens. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. You raise the poor from the dust and lift the needy from the ash heap, transforming them with glory and honor. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. You bring fruitfulness from barrenness and give homes to the solitary. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. Who is like our God, the one who looks down from the heights on the heavens, on the earth? From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. This is our God, the Holy One. Come before him with thanksgiving and offer him the sacrifice of praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's say together our prayer of confession. Sovereign God, we confess we have given idols power over us, the idols of power and wealth, fame and security. We confess we have fallen into the ways of this world and have forgotten our kindred in Christ. We have lost sight of the reign of God here on earth, and instead have allowed the idols of the world to rule over us. Forgive us. Call us into your reign, to declare you the one who has power over us, because your power is love. Call us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to work for justice, show mercy, and love one another, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Jesus came to us not to reign as a king over us, but to serve us and to show us that the way of God is the way of love. Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he called us to be humble and to serve one another, teaching that the most important commandments were to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the way of our sovereign. So know that you are forgiven, and let the grace you receive lead you to love and to serve one another in the same way that Christ serves us. Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus, there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did you know that it's kind of New Year's Eve? At least if you use the church calendar for the church year, it is. Next Sunday, we actually start Advent, which means we are starting a new church year. Hard to believe we're there already. Today, that means, is the last Sunday of the year. And as is the tradition in the church and on the tradition of the church year, it is the day that we celebrate our core belief that Christ reigns, and that Christ is sovereign over us all. Now, if you're anything like me, you might have realized this already and already be thinking that this reading from Luke that describes the hours of Jesus' crucifixion is a bit of a strange choice for us today on Christ the King Sunday. What were the lectionary developers thinking when they picked this one? You might think that to celebrate Christ the King, it might be better off with a great reading like the one from Luke 4 when Jesus was in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry and stood up and pronounced, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Or how about that account of him riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday as people are throwing their cloaks down in front of him and waving palm fronds? Or even one of the resurrection appearances. So many stories that feel a bit like a better fit for today, in part because they all have at least an essence of triumph within them. This whole crucifixion scene doesn't have much of that, does it? And I actually think that in part, that might be why it actually is a very good choice for us for today. Jesus is our King, yes. But although we know well that he is a different kind of king than the world is used to, we often forget that. And today we are remembering this foundational part of our faith once again, that Jesus isn't the kind of king the world was looking for, or for that matter, the kind of king the world is still looking for. This reading tells of a scene that is familiar to most of us. We turn to it each year on Good Friday. But for today, as we look at what it has to show us about Christ our King, let's try to shift our gaze away from the heartbreak of hearing about the one we love being executed. And instead, let's listen to this and look at it more for what was happening amongst the other people who were gathered there that day. We've heard about the two criminals that Jesus was crucified with, but in addition to them, there were also the soldiers that were there whose job was to actually perform the execution. There were lots of people that had gathered for various reasons. Some of them were Jesus' friends and followers. Some were skeptics. And others were probably just curious. And of course, there were the religious leaders who had a vested interest in seeing the problem of Jesus taken care of. All were present for the same event. All had different experiences of it. And all of them saw different things that led them to very different understandings about what was actually happening. Now, in this particular passage, we don't hear especially about what any of Jesus' friends and followers who were there were thinking at the time. But we do know from the things we read about the days after that, that they had come to the conclusion that his mission had failed and that the whole movement they'd been a part of had come to a tragic end. But instead of talking about them, Luke tells us about lots of other people, most of whom were sneering and mocking Jesus in some way. There were a lot of belittling questions being thrown around. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Just about everyone Luke mentions seemed to be thinking that Jesus was either not a king at all, or at least was a king who had failed miserably. Just about no one there could fathom the truth that we now know, that what was being interpreted through worldly eyes as a miserable failure was in fact the greatest victory ever won. That in dying that day, Jesus was actually doing the most important work of his life. Now, we know that Jesus is certainly a king, but a very different kind of king. And from Luke's account, it looks like only one other person there seemed to get that. In that second criminal's request, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In that, we hear his belief that despite what everyone else seemed to think and despite how it appeared, Jesus really was the king who had the authority and the power to grant him eternal life. Most people watching missed it, but one man saw something different. Why? Why was he able to see that all was not lost, that Jesus' death might not actually be the end for Jesus or for him? That's our first question for today. Why could that criminal see that even nailed to a cross, Jesus truly was a king? And our second question is quite simply, why does that matter to us today? Well, first, let's reflect a bit on what might have led that man to dare to hope that Jesus really was a king, a king who still had the power and the authority to determine his destiny beyond death. Well, reflecting on this question with this reading this year, I found myself struck by two things that we see in that man that I don't think we see in the other people that we hear about. Everyone else is mocking Jesus, and there's an arrogant harshness to their words. But the second criminal's tone is different. Contrary to their arrogance, he's actually quite humble. He has the humility to realize that he can't save himself from the death that is coming, a death he knows he deserves. He has the humility to realize that he needs help. He also has the humility to realize that God might actually be capable of working in ways that are far beyond his ability to understand. Where others were so sure that their perception of what was happening that day was right, that criminal had the humility to realize that there might be more going on, more to see, than he was actually capable of seeing. So where others thought they knew, he realized he didn't know, and that he didn't need to know. That's humility. And I think it's actually a big part of what allowed him to remain open to the real work that God was actually doing that day. So he was humble, and I also think he was courageous. He had the courage to disregard all of those naysayers, and he took a chance. And he asked Jesus to save him. My friends, this thing that we call faith is ultimately about trust. Do we trust God? Do we trust Jesus to keep the promises he's made to us? Do we trust him to be with us, blessing and saving us, even in the moments when it doesn't really feel like that's happening? Honestly, in life's challenging times especially, it takes courage to have faith, to dare to trust, and then to act on that trust. When that criminal asked Jesus to remember him, he was going against the throngs who were mocking Jesus, and even more, he was daring to let himself hope that Jesus might actually be able to do what he desperately needed and wanted him to do. When you have no ability to save yourself, whatever your situation, it takes courage to reach out to God and to hope that he will act. So while there was probably even more than this going on for him, I do think it is helpful for us to see how that criminal's humility and courage made it possible for him to receive that incredible promise that that very day he would get to be with Jesus in paradise. And that actually brings us very nicely to that second question I left you with a few minutes ago. Why does this man's courage and humility matter to us? Well, quite simply, because as we try to follow Jesus, seeking all the ways he continues to be saving us, we actually need to have humility and courage too. We need the humility to realize that we can't do this by ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And we need to have the humility to remember that God is always working, oftentimes in ways we can't see or even possibly understand. And we need the courage to place our faith, our trust, in him doing just that, just because he said he will. Friends, we follow a king who has quite literally saved us by embodying his own humility and courage throughout his life and most powerfully and poignantly in his death. That criminal got to witness Christ's humility and courage up close on the cross right next to him. And it seems that in seeing that, it inspired those same things in the criminal. Well, as we meditate ourselves on Christ's life, and today especially on his death, we too can find in there the source for the courage and the humility that we need to face whatever challenges lie before us, and to face them with faith, with hope, and most of all, with love. Amen.
Dwelling, and I with thee one. O Lord of my heart.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Triune God, Jesus God beside us, Father God above us, Holy Spirit God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. And this morning, the prayers that I'm going to read are not mine. They were written for the Reign of Christ Sunday by a woman called Kathy Amlung. There will be a recurring phrase throughout the prayer where you can join me. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, join me with, please hear our prayer. So that's, Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. Holy Father, we pray and adore you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our beautiful Savior, the King of creation. We thank you for his holy life, his innocent suffering and death in our place, and his glorious resurrection that bestows life, forgiveness, health, and salvation on us. Though we are your poor, unworthy servants, you have made us the sisters and brothers of your beloved Son and heirs of your kingdom. Blessing and honor, praise and adoration be yours, Holy Father, for the sake of your Son in the power of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your Son King of creation and head of your holy church. Bind that church to Christ with cords of love. Make it unswerving in faith and bold witness to him, especially where it endures persecution for his sake, and use it to draw all people to his cross, there to acclaim him as Lord, King, and Savior. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your persecuted church a visible sign of the suffering of Christ himself. Grant that all who are afflicted for his sake may also, like the sun, moon, and stars, bear witness to the beauty of his holiness and the glory of his love. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your Son our Savior and Lord. Fill the people of this congregation with your Holy Spirit, so that in all we say and do, among all people we encounter, we acclaim Jesus Christ as Son of God and Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made this land rich with resources and resplendent with the virtues of freedom, justice, opportunity, and honesty. Grant that all who live here may be responsible stewards of those resources, tireless examples of those virtues, and thankful sharers of every blessing with which you have graced us. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your Son Lord of the nations. By your Holy Spirit, conform the hearts of rulers and people to the heart of Christ, and let his peace reign undisturbed in every land. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your Son our light
joy, and crown. Grant that his strong saving love might accompany those who serve our country, here and abroad. Fill them with honor, courage, and wisdom, and bring them home in safety. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. You have made your Son fairer than sunlight, stars, meadows, or woodlands. Let his beauty, healing, and compassion cause all sorrowing hearts to sing. Deliver them from their afflictions and restore them to the fellowship of all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. Gracious Father, you have made your Son to shine more brightly than all of heaven's angels. We thank you for the lives of the faithful departed who already see his glory face to face. Fill us with such faith and love that, in your good time, we shall join them in singing glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayer. Hear our prayer and graciously grant all that glorifies you and benefits our poor, broken world for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for your gifts that are given so freely and generously to the work of God through this congregation here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me the prayer over the gifts this week? O Lord Jesus Christ, you gave your life for us, and in gratitude we can do no less than serve you with our lives and all that we have. Accept these gifts as symbols of our total commitment to you and your kingdom. Amen.
Friends, you are the body of Christ. So may you have the heart of Christ, tender for mercy. May you have the eyes of Christ that see a world in need. And may you have the feet of Christ to bring good news. Go in peace and go with God. Amen.
Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. Are you Lord God? were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. And praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. And you did not despise the cross, or for even in your suffering you saw to our salvation. Oh Jesus, for our sake.